Well, let's welcome back Coach Tresky. Coach Tresky, season four with me. You're here for Tresky Talk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very grateful. Excited.
Well, let's talk about an exciting season coming up here for you. You guys went 4-6 last year, but really the season really seemed to gain some momentum for you guys as it was going along. What were your thoughts about getting this team on even to the next level from this point now?
Yeah, I think what excited us most about last year was we really felt like our culture had taken root. And what I mean by that is, like, we learned as a team how to work hard for one another regardless of circumstance, regardless of outcome. You know, our mantra, and we talked about it last year, was, you know, we're a program built on love. You see it by how we work. We want our guys to show love in action, that John 15:13 mindset. And I think, you know, despite some of the losses we had, we never felt like we faltered in terms of our effort or our focus. You know, sometimes our execution, yes, but we played really hard every game, and it paid off as this season went on. We saw growth. We saw some positive results, and the guys, you know, to their credit, they carried that right into the off season. We had a great off season. Coach Brooks, Coach Parbs, a couple of our guys did a great job leading our off season program, and they came to camp ready to go, and we are really, really thrilled to have this group, a lot of great leaders. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. You see that the culture taking hold more last season, but it looks like every year since you've been here that the team has, like, gone to another level with each successive year. Do you see that is what's going on there?
I feel that for sure. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to quantify. You know, I think the success on the field's been incremental. But we definitely in our building, you know, and on campus, you can see, I mean, even academically, we're seeing guys, you know, just handle their business in the classroom differently than they did before. You know, we're more involved on campus, more involved in our city and with community outreach events and stuff like that. So there's just it's just a different mindset. It means a little bit more to be a Warrior than it did before, and it's a credit to like I said our leaders, our staff. It's credit to Coach Miller and the foundation that he laid, you know, before I even got here. You know, that's what was instilled in me, and I just wanted to keep building on what he started.
Well, last year you made a very bold move turning to Nate Griffith at the end of last season, and he was phenomenal for you. What are some areas where you would to see him step up his game this year?
Nate, I'll tell you one thing. Nate's been a really good leader throughout camp. We've had a QB battle in building, and you know, I think that would be a hard pill to swallow for a guy that had some success, you know, on the field for us in last fall. But we were open about, you know, some of the things that we wanted him to continue to work on, and his approach has never changed. Nate's incredibly cerebral. He's pretty goofy. He keeps a light, you know, light mood. We just had our quarterback meeting in before this call, and he always keeps us laughing and stuff like that. But, like, his approach hasn't changed. He's working hard, and he's ready. You know, whenever his name is called, he's going to be ready to roll. So really impressed with him, and the guys love him. I love to be able to coach him. It's fun.
Now, last season, you had that unbelievable recruiting class for freshmen, over 50 guys there. You followed it up with another great comeback here with 37. What do you think has been making it so that you've been so successful in getting guys to buy into Wisconsin Lutheran?
I think the biggest thing is that we're very honest and genuine about who we are, and that's helped our retention. That big freshman group that you talked about, we retained at the highest rate we've retained freshmen in at least a decade, maybe more. And a lot of it, I think, begins in the front end. You be transparent about, you know, what your program, what your school's about the experience that they can expect. I think what you're seeing a lot in college athletics right now is that what's being sold and what the experience is once students are there is very different. Their expectations don't meet reality, and that's where you get discontent. Guys get frustrated, and there's always a natural level of frustration as a freshman. You know, you're restarting the process of earning trust of your coaches and learning what it takes to play at, you know, the college level. But I think, you know, our staff's done a really good job of saying, hey, listen, this is what we're about. We're going to love you. We're going to care for you. We're going to help you grow God's gifts that he gave you. It won't always be easy. Actually, it'll be pretty hard sometimes, but that's why we're here. We got your back, and I think that's really helped.
Now, I believe you're just short of 100 players on the roster, which is the biggest group you've ever had before. So,
actually,
any challenges about a little over? Okay, awesome, awesome. Any challenges with that number, or do you see this? How are the benefits for that as well?
I think there's always some challenges. You know, I would say as far as the college roster is concerned, we're right at the sweet spot. And what I mean by that is we have the level of depth and competition at every position group that you need to be able to both grow throughout a season and keep your program developing over time. But at the same time, I feel like we're not so large and the gaps aren't so wide between playing and not playing that guys always feel like, you know what, I have a role on this team, a role that matters, and my role can grow. And so like right now is exactly where we want to be. Actually, it's funny. I know you do an interview with Coach Bruton as well. We used to talk all the time about like, hey, what would your ideal roster number be? And we're right about the number that we always used to talk about. It's about four deep at every spot and then a couple of specialists and stuff like that. So we're right there, and I think you're seeing it pay off, guys. They understand how much they matter to our program and to each other, and they all know they're getting coached up the same as if they're starting or if they're, you know, developing themselves for a later time.
For fans out there, do you have any new coaching changes for the season?
I would say not drastic ones. You know, we did lose Coach Treadaway. Did a really good job for us, special teams DB coach last year, coach. You know, part of what happens in this game is when you do a good job, others recognize it, and you earn new opportunities. And so coaches was able to get to a Division II school out in West Virginia in a very similar role. And so we're happy and thrilled for him. And what that means for us is we've had some guys, you know, be able to step up in some new roles. So last year, Jamal Napoleon was helping me on offense. He's a former high school coach in the area, played, you know, really high-level ball when he was a player. We knew each other from our old days of playing. His experience is with the defensive backfield. And so starting last spring, he joined Coach Smith in the D-backs room, and they're kind of tag team. Coach Smith works with the safeties. Coach Mall works with the corners. And I couldn't be more proud of the work that group is doing. Those two guys and our defensive staff, like our DB room is drastically different than it was last year. And so I think when you watch us on Saturday, you're going to see some different level of play from that group. We also were able to add Pat Wagner. Pat is actually just got named to the State High School Coaches Hall of Fame this summer. He's been a football coach here in the city of Milwaukee, at Milwaukee Riverside High School, phenomenal coach, phenomenal man, and helping us, just doing a tremendous job helping us with D-line coach and a little bit of special teams as well. And for me, you know, I'm still a younger head coach, being able to bounce things off a guy that was a head coach for 25-plus years has been awesome. So I really appreciate him, and I think he's really enjoyed being a part of the staff. And then one other new change is that we have Justin Parbs moved from being a player to being a coach. He's actually helping us on the D side. I want him to grow as a coach, and he's bringing some great insights on the defensive side of things. And then there's a former Warrior like myself that joined us on the offensive side helping with receivers. His name's Carmelo Velasquez, and Carmelo was coaching arena football out in Carolina, and we're very fortunate to have him working with Coach Adovich and our receiver group as well. So.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about your captains for this year.
Most unique situation I've ever had. We have four defensive captains. So two seniors, two juniors. We vote on our captains in the spring. So all the guys have had a chance to see, you know, what type of work ethic and all the things that are being poured in the season when nobody's watching. And so we had two seniors and two juniors that were voted. I'll start with the seniors. So Kyle Kibaki, returning, you know, all-conference defensive player for us at DN, was named a captain for us, as was Carter Schneider. Carter, if you remember, was a receiver for us. Carter has made a huge selfless move, moving to defensive back for us this year. And a big change for him, but one I think you're going to see make a big impact for us on Saturdays. He's really adjusting well to it, and just proud of him because I know that's not an easy thing to do, especially going into your senior year. The other two captains are juniors, so Savon Goodwin, linebacker, probably one of our best vocal leaders, one of our, if not the hardest worker. It's a toss-up probably between him and the other junior captain. I mean, he's putting in extra time, goes above and beyond what we ask of our team in the off seasons and things like that, and he's going to be a great leader for us. And then Brandon Ansek, Jake Ansek's brother, came in as a transfer, and he was named a captain as well, which speaks a lot about him, you know, being on the team for 4 months, and the guys saw so much in him as a leader that they voted him as a captain. So that's our captain group this year. And then, as always, we always vote on a fifth each week.
Fantastic. What do you see as strengths for the team this year?
You hit on one, was leadership. I think, you know, we have more returning players in our program than we've had, certainly in my time, if not ever. I think that helps. You know, every experience that you're having isn't necessarily a new experience. You can draw from things in the past, which is really good. We're deeper at every spot, which means practices are more competitive. It means that a team can weather the storm of any injuries and whatnot that happens, you know, as a team, as the season goes along. And I think our guys have finally adopted the mindset where they expect to play their best. We've worked hard enough now to expect to play well. And that doesn't mean we expect to win every game. We actually don't talk about winning, you know, here in our program. We talk about competing and leaving our best on the field. But I think our guys aren't going to enter a situation on game day where there's any fear, because they know they've done all they can to be ready. And so now it's just a matter of playing for their teammates. So.
Are there areas on the team this season where you would like to see, you know, a little more, a lot more advancement than what you're seeing right at this particular moment?
So the two biggest areas for improvement, I think we will see. It's just there's some unproven guys. You know, I'm really excited to see our defensive line grow. Coach Donovan, our defensive coordinator, has moved to that position group. He and Coach Wags are tag team in that. And I've already seen some big change just in the technique and the discipline that those guys are playing with. It means a lot when your coordinator's, you know, working with your unit, especially since he was a former D lineman. He does a great job with those guys. So I think you're going to see that group as the season progresses keep getting better. I think you're going to see our O-line group continue to improve. We really prioritized up front. In our recruiting class, we have a lot of young, either first year or true freshman guys that we think have a chance to help us in that group. And there's a lot to learn to be able to play college O-line, not just technically, but mentally. You know, you're going to get a lot thrown at you. And so I think there's going to be a huge learning curve that those guys will overcome as the season progresses. And so you'll see some positives there. And then I think the last one is just QB play, guys getting comfortable running the show, being in the system. You know, we will definitely see some change than we started last year with, and I think you're going to see that group progress as well. So, yeah, the line of scrimmage, both sides, and quarterback play.
Now, you mentioned Justin Parves moving to become a coach this season. Huge loss for this offense. So who do you see stepping up and becoming the go-to guy on the running back corps?
I would say we got a great committee. I would say the lead kind of candidate to take on the role is Mike Dupree. Mike's a senior for us who's coming off of an ACL injury. Actually got injured against Lake Forest last year, kind of a unique deal how that happened, but has rehabbed so hard, has done a great job getting himself ready to play, has had a really good camp, and it might look a little odd from the outside, you know, receiver moving to running back, but Mike was a guy in high school that was a really accomplished running back. that we moved to the slot to be able to have him and Justin make an impact on the game without, you know, having one guy watch. So this was a move that was kind of like a long time coming for us, and he's definitely more than ready to step up, and it's going to be fun to see him doing what we know he's capable of doing.
Now, you've talked about a lot of depth on the team, but 70 of your guys, I believe, this season are going to be freshmen or sophomores. So any concern about that number of young guys playing for you?
I think there's always a little bit. I will say, like, a lot of those sophomores had experience for us last year. So it's, on one hand, that yeah, they're sophomores and they still have some things to learn and maturity, you know, in the weight room and stuff. But on the other hand, like, they were pretty, you know, as the year progressed, like, some of our biggest impact players on both sides of the ball were freshmen for us. You know, look at, like, a guy like Javi Murillo, for example. You know, I look at, like, on the defensive side, you know, we had both two linebackers for us from Florida, Layson Hanwork, Nathan Nevad, really stepping up. Those guys definitely, you know, played some big roles. So there's a handful of guys that last year as freshmen played for us that I feel like, while they only are sophomores, they almost have, like, the experience of a typical junior, and that gets me excited. So there's definitely some learning that will take place these first few weeks, especially against, you know, Lake Forest is a good team, as is Carroll, but they're ready for the task.
Now, you talked about, you know, kind of adjusting offensive line this season, looking for where you're going to be in your quarterback position. You guys really got exceptionally good on offense from about week four on. I mean, that was just an incredible group. That Rockford game might have been the best game of the whole season of the conference. What are your thoughts about where this offense can go and how they can keep performing for the club?
Man, I'm really excited. Like, I've obviously had some really good offensive players and units in my time coaching, and you know, when we're healthy, we've had a couple injuries in camp, but when we're healthy, like, this is probably, oh man, I don't want to say it's the deepest, but it's one of the deepest receiver rooms I've ever had. Like, when all those guys are good to go, like, it's going to be a really, really tough room to defend. Because we have such a balance of physicality, of vertical threat, of guys that can block and be physical, it just makes us really, really tough to play any one way and for them to take away any one person. So I think the sky's the limit on what we do. I think you'll see a little bit different brand of, you know, the way that we attack teams will probably be different than a year ago. You know, you lose a guy like Justin, that shifts some things, but even though the way we attack teams might look different, I feel really, really good about where we can go as an offense, without a doubt.
One of my favorite stories last year was kind of the rise of Arnolfo Ortega. I mean, he just became such an incredible weapon for you. What do you see as his upside for this year? What is he going to come through with this year?
No, that's funny. We were just talking about him this morning in their meeting. He's become just a leader for our team. You know, he does a really good job of engaging with the guys. It's not always easy when you're a specialist. That whole group has done a great job. Him and Tony Ziegler, and we got a freshman named Mikolaj. It's just all three of those guys really work hard. I've never had a weapon like Arnulfo as a kicker before. I've never had a guy where I can confidently say, like, if it's neutral conditions, can put it in from 50. And so that's exciting. That gives us the opportunity to have scoring plays in situations where we typically might have to be a little bit more aggressive offensively. And so it's a huge weapon that we intend to utilize, and he works really hard at his craft to make sure. I mean, this is the best shape he's ever come into camp. He's worked a couple different kicking showcases in camps throughout the summer. In addition to his own personal training that he always does. I mean, he shoots me videos all the time of himself kicking just bombs, and it's awesome to see. So, we're really excited for him. And like I said, he's an emotional leader. He gets the team fired up.
Well, let's talk about big game coming up here against Lake Forest, a team that has really risen to become one of the top teams in the Midwest Conference, 9-2 last season. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I always
start by saying, like, I think they're really well coached. Coach Cat does a great job running his program. Coach Butts is a good coordinator on the defensive side. Like, you know, when you're playing a Lake Forest football team, you're going to play a sound team schematically that plays hard and that understands their job. And so I tip my hat to those guys, and Matt, there's a reason that they've obviously been successful. We're excited for the challenge. I think for our team, you know, we know what type of team we're up against. You know, Lake Forest has a lot of returning starters and guys that have been to playoff games. And, you know, I think our guys want to get there. You know, they want to be that type of football team. And so week one, we get a really great test or a great benchmark of, okay, where are we at? And, you know, I felt like, you know, the last two seasons, we've played with Lake Forest, you know, pretty competitively, usually for about three quarters, and then we've made mistakes, and we've allowed, you know, they're a good team, and they capitalized on them. And so that'll be the mark of our progress, is can we put ourselves in a position where in the fourth quarter we have an opportunity to win the football game rather than giving the opportunities to them. And so I'm excited. I feel like the team's ready. We've had a really good week of prep, and just looking forward to seeing our guys compete.
Now, they have a pretty talented young quarterback right there. And so what are your expectations for your defense? I know you're not giving away your game plan, obviously, but what are keys that you look at and kind of trying to slow him down a little bit?
Well, their whole offense starts with their run game, right? Everything is built around a couple of their key run concepts. And that'll be interesting to see, because they return most of their starters, but they do lose their top two ball carriers. So how do they navigate that? Who are the guys that step into that role? Do they change a little bit just because of that? That'll be something that we'll want to see. But if we can take the run game away and force them to do some things that maybe they don't typically do offensively, that's definitely the game plan. I think the quarterback's name is Trey Stewart. He's a good player. We respect his arm. We respect his feet. He's athletic. Does a nice job extending plays. They have some nakeds and play actions that they do, and they got a couple burners, you know, that can really pop the top off a defense that they try to get you with, including A.J. Jackson, their All-American guy that's returning. So it'll be a good test for us to see, like, you know, can we force them to play against their strengths, do some things that they don't do often?
That's fantastic, Coach. Well, I know we're here at the first week of the season, so I know Coach Tressie's got some great words of wisdom for us for week one.
Well, I will tell you, the words of wisdom are what we start our camp with, and it's this idea of identity. I want our players and anyone that's listening, I want them to have to understand the same truth, that our identity can't be tied to our outside circumstances or our emotions. Because those two things change a lot. Oftentimes, throughout one day, they change. And so we dove into scripture. We dove into a story about a guy named Gideon. And Gideon's circumstances and the situation he found himself in was pretty, pretty poor. His family, his country was being ransacked, attacked, and he was in hiding. And it was in hiding that he encounters the angel of the Lord, and the greeting that he gets is the last thing that you would ever expect if you're in the mentality of Gideon. The angel greets him and says, The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And I found that so interesting as I read that. I was like, I've got to share this with my team, because the last thing that Gideon believed about himself was that he was a mighty warrior. And he probably doubted at times if God was really walking with him when things were getting hard. But what we see is that God looks at Gideon, and he looks at each and every one of us for as who he created us and called us to be, not necessarily how we feel in the moment. And so I want our team, and I want anyone that would be listening now, just to understand, like, God has a calling on your life. God sees you as chosen, as a child of God, as someone that has a purpose here. And no matter what you might be experiencing in this moment that would make you doubt that, keep stepping into where he's calling you to be, because each and every one of us inside us is a heart of a mighty warrior. And God is calling us to live that out, to make an impact on those around us. So that's my words of wisdom for you today.
That's fantastic. Coach Trusty, thanks for joining us this week.
Appreciate you, Rob. Thank you.